Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. It's a game day Thursday. It's a season over Thursday for one team, maybe two teams, kind of. You saw what happened to Atlanta United last night, but the math is still possible. Anyway, good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, it's all good. It's game day here. The freaking stadium over there looks outstanding.
Doesn't that end zone look beautiful?
I love it. Now, they weren't good when they sat at the end zone.
So, but that's not why they weren't good.
I still love the end zone and everything like that.
It's always funny to me when people bring that up. It's like, well, they weren't good in those jerseys. Do you think that's why?
Dude, I went. I went to one Falcon game as a kid, and I remember because my Aunt Pam was dating. They played the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
And she was dating one of the Detroit Lions players, Aunt Pam. And he got us tickets to the game. So while we went to the game, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
That place, and now that I'm older, was a raggedy blank.
Where did you go?
Fulton.
You went to Fulton County.
Yeah,
okay.
Went to Fulton County Stadium back in the day. And it was raggedy as hell, and the Detroit Lions beat the dog out of them. You know, but, you know, just being a kid, it was the coolest thing ever. But, yeah, it looked really good over there. And hopefully they got the red helmets on that we saw them up there practice day with them on. So hopefully they can bring, I won't say bring back some magic to that field because, again, they stunk.
Well, they won last time
well, with last the red time, helmets. And so hopefully they can bounce back with
hopefully
that.
They can win tonight.
Yeah, two in a row, man.
Two in a row with the
two
red
in
helmets.
A row, man, with
we'll
the
take
red
it.
Helmet.
You'd be in first place in the division.
Yeah.
Obviously going to be a cool atmosphere over there tonight with Tampa Bay coming to town, and we'll spend a lot of time talking about that game throughout the day today. We're up there yesterday at Flowery Branch and had the opportunity to talk to Chris Lindstrom, which was great. Had an opportunity to talk to Arch, which was great. And at the end of the show, we talked to Raheem Morris, which was awesome, too. So feel like got some, I don't know if intel is the right word, but got a little
we
bit
got,
of
we
a,
got the Troy Andersen news first.
We did. We broke the Troy Andersen news.
We got the Troy Andersen news
so
first.
So you're welcome for that.
Yeah.
I guess we don't have to wait for breaking news. We have to break it ourselves
exactly.
Around here.
Hey, you know Troy what I mean? Playing or not, Troy's not playing.
Boom. There you have it.
There it is right there. Yeah.
There
but, I mean, this should be a competitive ball game tonight. You know, the Buccaneers are, I think they're a good football team.
Yep.
I think Baker's playing really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that'll be the one of the keys is getting him off his spot, making him more comfortable. I thought this morning, I said, they got to get at least two sacks.
Yeah.
At least two sacks a day. But the biggest thing.
Hard to sack.
He is. He really is. He gets the ball out fast.
Gets the ball out really
fast. But they got to figure out something. They got to figure out something, you know, to try and get him off, you know, because they got a lot of good players when he has time.
They do. They also have a lot of good players when he just gets the ball in their hand,
yep.
which is kind of their game plan. As I was reading a little bit about it this morning and just wondering, and I, you know, we asked Raheem about it yesterday. We asked Arch about it. It's like, all right, Baker's always – he's been okay. Obviously got off to not a great start in Cleveland, but
right.
Then he was hurt, took him to the playoffs. Bounce around. He's not looked like this before.
Right.
And what's the difference? Why is he looking like this? Well, a big part of it is, and this is the league right now. Like, this is the NFL right now. Baker's probably the poster child for it, is short passes, ball out quick, mm-hmm. high percentage, mm-hmm. don't turn the ball over, don't get sacked, live to play another down, all that kind of stuff. He's just become a very efficient quarterback.
Yes.
He didn't used to be a very efficient
right.
quarterback.
He's a gunslinger.
He was. He was very much a gunslinger, and that's almost like a tiger changing its stripes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, he still has that in him.
Mm-hmm.
Baker's still going to go on hot streaks or cold streaks. He almost is a guy that, however the first couple drives go, that's how the game goes.
Right.
Like, if he gets hot, he can get hot.
Yeah, man.
He'll throw four touchdowns on you.
Oh, in a second.
If you get him off his comfort zone and you get him sort of second guessing and taking chances, you can have a bad day. Like,
yeah.
Baker will have a really bad day, but it's up to you to make him do that. But it's harder to make him do that because he gets the ball out so damn fast.
Right.
It's hard to get a sack on a guy who
so
has the ball for half a second.
Because he's still a smaller guy, you get your hands up.
Right.
If you're not
right.
there, you got to get your hands up,
and
bat
Judon
some balls.
Judon did a great job last week.
You got to get your hands up, bat some balls down and everything. Because, I mean, they're not the most efficient running team, but like you were talking about before the show, they do a good job of using little dump-offs as their run game,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an extension of the run game. So, you know, the offense for the Falcons, they just got to stay on. They got to stay on track today. I mean, because that gives them opportunities to possess the ball. Because we talked about yesterday, you know, getting those play counts more in your favor. We talked about Raheem flipping the time of possession thing. They got to win time of possession tonight.
Yep.
I would like to see that. You know,
that was when you asked Raheem if there's one thing that sort of takes you guys from where you are to being better. Like, obviously, there's a lot of things that have to happen, but if there's one thing that sort of leads to a lot of other things improving, that's what he said. He said time of possession.
Yes.
That a lot of things have to happen. I think that's sort of almost the opposite answer to that. Like, time of possession would be an output of if you ran the ball better on third down, if you protected the quarterback, if you threw the ball down the field better. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, if you stopped the run.
I think time of possession is the end result of all of the other things that have to happen.
Yeah, 100% sure. You're right.
But, yeah, all those things have to happen. Because here's the deal. Like, you're not going to win even at a 500 percentage if you're outplayed by the other team. Not just, I don't mean like they're playing better. I mean, they literally run 20 more plays than you. And if they have the ball for 10 more minutes, you're just going to lose those games.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're incredibly explosive and you're scoring really fast touchdowns, but they're not that either.
Right.
So,
yeah. You know what? How about some touchdowns tonight? How about some offensive touchdowns tonight? Or touchdown or whatever.
Let's not give away our keys to the game.
Yeah, how about some touchdowns? You know, how about some touchdowns? How about some creativity on offense? How about we get the run
Pump
game going
the brakes,
early?
Randy.
I mean, there's so many things that this team needs to do tonight.
Yeah, now, they do.
They need to do these things tonight because they're playing against a good football team. And so I think the Falcons can be a good football team. I don't know where they are right now. They're 2-2, so that's all that matters.
Right, that really is all that matters.
But I don't know how good this team is. I think this team can be once everything gets, you know, in sync where it needs to be, especially on the offensive side. Because I don't think they're ever going to be unless some tweaks in the scheme or some people step up or some people get bigger or whatever, I don't think they're ever going to be a great run defense.
No.
I just don't think they're ever going to be a great run defense. And so they're going to give up close to 100 yards every game like that. That also eats the clock and everything like that.
Yep.
But I think if you continue to have this offense, find a way to get leads, that helps this defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at that a little bit this morning too, just how much time they've spent with the lead and how much the lead has been. Just not very much.
Right.
I mean, they had 13 minutes of time with the lead in game one, 15 minutes, so that's only a quarter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of games, it's been more even, but the leads, and again, it's hard to get a big lead in the NFL. There's not a lot of teams that have double-digit leads very often.
Right.
The biggest lead the Falcons have had so far this year is a one-touchdown lead. Mm-hmm. It's a seven-point lead, and they've had that in each of the last couple of games. I was just thinking about it from, okay, they're bottom of the league in sacks, bottom of the league in time of the game spent with a lead. Those things go hand in hand, right? The Vikings lead the NFL in sacks and lead the NFL in time of game spent in the lead. They're outscoring opponents 38-3 in the first quarter.
Yep.
So then you're playing catch up from the very beginning. You're in passing situations, and then they can let the guys loose.
And you let flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Call a defense,
exactly.
Andy. And they were showing clips of
now,
that.
I'm not sitting here saying that the Falcons are going to be a great pass rush defense even if they had a two-touchdown lead,
right.
But I'd like to see.
It helps.
I'd like to find out.
It helps.
I don't know.
It does.
I know it helps.
Yeah, it helps.
But I don't know if it helps these guys.
Yeah, it helps.
I hope it would.
Yeah,
I'd like to see.
It does help. But that's the crazy thing about when Flo gets the lead. Man, they showed the clip this morning. They had all 11 guys up.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Oh, we're up 20 early?
They got 11 guys up here walking around playing it all cool. Quarterback snaps the ball, then get hit in the damn face.
Yeah, go get him.
I mean, but that's the fun thing about playing defense. Playing defense with a lead is so fun because you get to go and just tee off.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you got to do the little thing, the coverage. But as a defensive lineman with the lead.
How much fun would that be tonight? Hey. Go out there and do something a little early.
Yeah, man.
You get a touchdown. Now, they had a great touchdown drive to start the game against Kansas City. And then Kansas City went on like a 17-play, 10-year drive and sucked all the energy out of it.
Not getting off the ball.
Exactly.
Not getting off the field.
Exactly right. All right. Like we said, a lot of Falcons-Bucks talk today as it is game day. You can hear all your pregame coverage, play-by-play coverage, postgame coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves season ended last night. We'll get into that coming up next in What's Trending, including what Brian Snitker's talking about here. One last snit tease for the year. We'll come back. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Smoke balls. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, that's Brian Snitker after the game last night talking about one of the stories of the game, probably the biggest story of the game, being that Max Fried gets hit with just an absolute rope of a comebacker, second batter of the game. It wasn't his hip that it hit. It was right off his ass. That's what Max confirmed after the game. And then in the second inning, it started tightening it up, I guess.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so the season ends.
Unbelievable.
With the best pitcher of the year who hadn't been hurt all year not being able to go because he gets back spasms. The only guy that hadn't been hurt all year gets hurt, so he can't go in game one. And then your big game pitcher, Max Fried, in the first inning.
Unbelievable.
Gets hit with a comebacker, and he gets hurt too, and it unravels from there. He gives up five runs in that inning, and That was that. The Braves don't win when they give up. Now, credit to them for fighting back. Michael Harris didn't want to go home.
No, he did not. Dude, Mike wanted to stay in Cali.
Dude.
Mike wanted to finish
to the year. And you said this repeatedly. We talk about this with him. Just give me 6 months of a healthy Michael Harris. That dude's going to hit 35 home runs. He's going to play Gold Glove center field. He's one of the best players in baseball when he's healthy. And you saw it. Unfortunately, it was only a glimmer of it at the end of the year when he finally got healthy. So that's a little bit of an exciting thing to take into the offseason. But
God dog it, Andy.
That's
I'm sitting there.
It's over.
And Andy, I'm watching the game, excited, confident, everything. And I see Max get hit in the ass with that baseball, and all I said was, damn. Only us. Only the 2024 Braves does this happen to.
Yep.
He was never the same. He was never the same after that. They got after him. They got him out of there. And it was just, it was just one of the demoralized things. Like, damn.
110 miles an hour off the bat.
Right off the ass.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
That'll tighten it up.
That'll tighten the butt up. Yeah, it will. It'll tighten it up. But, and that's all I thought about at that time. Damn, 2024 break.
Yep.
That's it.
No, I mean, that's
it.
Unfortunately, it would have been awesome if they could have somehow broken from the regular season reality of what the season had been. The postseason was different, but it wasn't. And again, Chris Sale couldn't pitch in the series because he had back spasms. He'd been fine all year.
Yeah.
Guy who had been injury plagued for the last 8 years.
Great.
Healthy all year. He's going to win the Cy Young in the National League. He's a Cy Young Triple Crown winner at pitcher. Back spasms. Final week. Can't go.
2024, bro.
Max Fried's And that's why, obviously, I'm sad the season's over. It sucks the season's over. It would have been awesome if they would have gone on a run.
But
it feels way different than last year and the year before. Like, I'm not surprised the season's over.
No.
Last year they were really good, and they just got smacked in the mouth by a Phillies team who was red hot at the right time. You know what I mean? Like, it was incredibly frustrating and disappointing. I'm sad the season's over, but I'm not surprised
because
the season's
over. Because it's been a frustrating year, Andy. Yeah. It's been filled with injuries and bad offense.
Yep.
And that's basically what it's been. It's been bad offense and injury that have worked this team this year.
Right.
And so now you go back to the drawing board. The core, I put this core here that's locked up for the long haul against anybody.
Yeah.
The core of this team. They got to add some stuff.
Yeah, there's some tweaks.
There's some tweaks that need to be made. I love Orlando Arcia. I loved him. But he got to go back to what he was. He's always been a utility guy.
Yeah.
All right? They got to go find out.
Because he's not going anywhere. He's cheap.
Yeah.
Unless you could trade him. But, yeah, he's a good, solid,
you got to go out and find it.
Affordable option.
Listening, and I saw it this morning, listening to Max talk. Yeah, he was upset about the game or whatever. It sounded to me like he knows this last time in the Braves uniform.
And it is.
Yeah, and so you got to do it. Right? You got to find a way to replace him and things like that. And obviously, we don't know when Spencer's going to be ready. Don't know when Ronald's going to be ready. So, I mean, that's going to be a question going into next year. But, yeah, this year it was just a frustrating and I mean, it still got to the playoffs. But
pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, can I say this season's been more – ups and downs. I think it's been more down.
No,
because
this season,
the downs have been crushing.
The season sucked.
It's been crushing.
It was not fun at all.
It's been crushing.
Yeah.
And we had to deal with this, and we had to deal with that because these are the guys that got hurt.
Right.
Like
we
didn't get hurt, but damn it. We saw this, and it's been all season. It's not like this happened in, last month. It's been all summer.
Sean Murphy
got hurt first
in his first at bat.
Can they move him?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I think he's good. He was good. He was good last year for the first half of the year, and then he kind of got hurt, and then hasn't really been the same since then.
Okay.
He was good in Oakland. I don't know. I think he's back.
Oh, no, he's coming back.
I think him and Darnell are the battery at catcher, and that's okay. And he just has to play better.
That's it.
He is really good. He just wasn't.
I know his pop time is like top five.
Yeah, right. He just has to hit. He batted below 200 for the year. They missed a lot of time. But, Strider made two starts.
Yep.
And then he got his elbow surgery. There was six opening day position players missed over 2 months.
Yep.
Most teams don't make the playoffs, and
I will give them all the credit in the world for being able to just continuously try to overcome these things. But then you got to a point where you just couldn't overcome it. And last night was what this season was. This guy, your big money pitcher, is hitting the ass with a baseball.
Yep.
And can't play. I mean, and it affected him. It got him. And you couldn't. You almost did what you couldn't do previously. come from a deficit.
They
tried to.
They did.
And having Travis Darno up there, you would think, because I mean, Travis has come through before in these type of moments, and him pop up a lazy-ass fly ball, you're like, okay.
That's it.
Wasn't meant to be.
They only had two runners in scoring position last night. They scored their runs on home runs because they actually
– We said it yesterday.
They actually did. They started the game doing something that – and that's when I was the most optimistic. I was like, they manufactured a run. Michael Harris hit a double, and then they moved him over with a sacrifice grounder, and then they scored him with a sacrifice fly. I was like, who am I watching?
Yeah.
What is this baseball team?
We're at 1-0, baby.
Those are even like – this. It's crazy to say. There was some decent at-bats at times during that game. Guys didn't just flail and strike out and look embarrassing up there. Now, some guys did. There were some embarrassing strikeouts last night, too. But their starting pitcher got hurt. Joe Musgrove had to come out of the game in the fourth inning because he got hurt, too. So, yeah, it's one of those nights where it felt like you could have taken advantage of the situation had Max Fried not gotten hit in the ass with a line drive.
Damn, Matt.
And that's that.
Yep. Season over.
Career over as a Brave?
Who?
Max?
I think so.
Most likely?
I think so.
Yeah. We'll always have 21.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll always have game six. I think the thing with Max is if Max comes, he's going to take less to stay here.
Yeah.
I think we all could be overestimating his market value and everything like that. I don't know. I just think that he's a very good pitcher. He's a big lefty, all those different things. I just think that, you know, would be on a high priority for a lot of teams.
Yeah. I mean, Max Fried's an ace, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he's going to get, but it's going to be a lot. And the Braves haven't given a lot. Like,
They haven't given a lot. That's not fair.
They have a very high payroll, but they're very creative with it. And when they do it, they spread it out over long periods of time. I don't know that you're going to sign Max Fried to a 10-year contract or whatever it is, like Austin Riley and some of these other guys that you were able to spread their money out. I still don't know what their highest annual – what's their highest annual salary?
I think it's still –
it's not much higher than 22 or 23. Max is going to get – more than that.
Yeah.
Like Max is probably going to get about 25 per year, I would think.
Okay.
I think.
I don't know where Austin is at. But
21-ish.
21, okay.
Because it was like 212 over 10 years.
Okay. And so. Then it was – because he was the highest, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean.
I hope they can find a way. But, I mean, you know. Freddie left. Dansby left. Most likely Max Fried's leaving. And they've still made the playoffs without him. And they've been pretty good anyway. But, yeah. That's a – it's a story for another day, probably. The baseball playoffs continue on without the Atlanta Braves. All right, let's hear from Kirk Cousins talking about one of Randy's keys to the game. Score some touchdowns.
And that's kind of what Chris Lisman said with us yesterday.
Yep.
Like, the penalties are a technique thing. Hands to the face, holding, you know, all those type of things like that. They should and can be corrected with just a lowering your hands, Bergeron. Or, I guess, Jake, don't. Even though the play is past you, that defender had no way of making that play. Just don't do it or something like that.
Or the noozle shifting the ball.
Those type of things like that. I mean, those things are easily correctable, and you hope they do get corrected because they are taking away plays.
Yeah.
They're taking away – that one play took away a touchdown.
Yeah.
And so, you mean, you want to try and you always want to play a clean game, but you know it's always something that comes up on. You know that. But they want to try to figure out a way to stop shooting themselves in the foot and stop putting themselves in negative positions by something that they did.
Yeah. There's always going to be penalties in games.
Yes.
There's different kinds of penalties, though. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff is such undisciplined kind of ticky-tack drive-stalling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get penalized for, like a late hit or unsportsmanlike or something, I'm all right with that. You're playing hard. You smashed a guy into the ground. Now, that might, you know, lose some yards.
It varies.
But, like, if you get penalized for playing too hard or whatever, like an in-play sort of thing, all right, pre-snap stuff drives me nuts. Like, you just can't.
Like that. What was that? Well, who got the penalty last week for the Falcons when he, like, almost – he tapped the lineman, he fell over? Remember that penalty? It's like, oh, that's very soft. Like,
come on.
I mean, that's very soft.
So many of the penalties are soft right now.
That's very soft.
Guys flop.
Yes.
And it's a real issue.
And sometimes if a lineman is off balance and you touch them, they'll fall over.
They'll just flop.
They'll just fall over. It's just what it is.
Yeah, we can't just be making fun of basketball players anymore.
Yeah.
It's spread everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. Even big-ass 300-pound, tough-as-nails offensive linemen in the NFL.
Yes,
we're going to flop now. All right. Anyway, he's right. It all leads to other successes.
Yes.
But I don't know where it starts, though. You know what I mean? Like, I understand you want to have the ball more, but in order to have the ball more, you've got to be more efficient on first down. In order to be more efficient on first down, you've got to block better and be more creative in your play calling. I guess maybe it starts there. It starts in the trenches and with play calling.
Yep.
I mean, that's really where you get into rhythm.
Yeah. No. You got to figure out a way to be a balanced offense. We know that. And the thing about it is, what makes the offense so much better, makes a lot of it balanced, especially when you have a quarterback like they have here, you got to be able to get positive runs. You got to have a lot of positive runs. And, you know, I would be surprised.
Does that mean handing it to Tyler Allgeier on first down in the first quarter?
Yes. I think, and that's what I was just going to say. I'd be interested to see where he is as far as how many touches you get, considering that Bijan's a little banged up, got the hammy, said he's fine, got the shoulder, but he said he's fine. Have no reason but not to believe him. But I think that how, you know, they want to dictate the punishing run game, you got to see if you can get Allgeier's more carries early.
Yeah, no, he's making it. And he's one of the guys through 4 weeks that I think, I don't know if exceeded, but he's a plus.
Yeah.
Like, he's been very good in the first 4 weeks.
I don't think it's exceeding because we already seen what his dude
can do. We know what
he
can do. I just didn't know that it was going to be that necessary. You know what I mean? Like, I thought other people were going to do it too, and he was going to be sort of – I sort of thought of him as like a – like an accessory or like a side dish or something like that. He was the main course in the second half.
Yeah, he got the juice going, man.
Yeah.
He got his juice going.
Which is good that he did. It would be great if other guys would also be that.
Yes.
You know? Like, again, I didn't expect Tyler. Whatever. Whoever does it doesn't really matter. But he's earned the right to get the ball a little bit more, a little bit early in the game. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see that tonight. We'll come back. We'll switch gears from pro to college. Talk a little college football ahead of what's going to be a pretty fun Saturday. Huge, not surprising. Huge numbers for the Georgia-Bama game on Saturday night. We'll tell you what that looked like. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We will get back into the Falcons and the Bucks matchup tonight on Thursday Night Football. Again, let you hear some of what we had with Raheem Morris yesterday. Great conversation with him at the end of the show. This is unfortunate. It was like literally at the end. We were like, bye, Raheem. And then we were like, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
So we didn't really get to talk about any of the stuff we talked with him about. So we'll get more into that coming up in about 20 minutes. Grant McCauley going to join us at 12:20, unfortunately, for the postmortem. We were hoping we'd have Grant on at 12:20 today for, all right, what do they got to do tonight to keep it going? And nope, they lost last night. Season's over. So we'll get Grant in here to recap it and talk about what's next and all that good stuff. We'll get to some college football conversation in just a minute as well. Want to mention this again. And first of all, shout out to the listeners of 92.9 The Game. Man. We raised over $2,000 on the first day
Love
of this fundraiser.
Man. That's great.
That's well done.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Very, very well done. And thank you to everybody who donated yesterday. Whether it's $5, whatever you can give, thank you for doing so. What we're talking about here is 92.9 The Game teaming up with Support Now for the Helene Assist to help those impacted by Hurricane Helene. Join us in supporting the Haywood Schools Foundation by donating today. Head over to 929thegame.com and give what you can. You can also find the link on my Twitter at TBM929. I was talking with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law last night, who both work for the Haywood County Schools Department, School Department. They don't know when they're going back to school.
Right.
They're not sure.
Right.
Maybe next week, maybe the week after, something like that. Haywood County and Waynesville, the town that's there, and there's a few other towns in Haywood County as well, but like, people got to understand, like, this is a place where a lot of people that live there have lived there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, like, Jim is a teacher at the school, and if he has a student in his class, he probably knows their parents.
Right.
Maybe he went to high school with their parents, whatever.
Right.
It's really close-knit. They know each other. He hasn't been able to get a hold of all of his students yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and these are people that, you know, it's not uncommon for him to text or call, or they've got, you know, that sort of communication. Now, that doesn't necessarily, hopefully, knocking on wood, mean anything tragic has happened.
Right,
there's still a loss of communication up there just because there's a loss of power and internet and all that stuff. But that's just unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what that means exactly, but it probably doesn't mean anything good. At the very least, it means, you know, loss of property and potential home and stuff like that. So the money that we're raising in this fundraiser is going to go to those kids that lost a lot of stuff.
Right.
So if you can, if you can donate, please do. And again, what a great day one. $2,000, over $2,000 yesterday. The goal is to get to $10,000. If we keep this up, we'll do it by early next week.
I love it. And I'm so happy that, you know, so they what they call it, call to action.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And our listeners and our followers and everybody, and every time you tweet it, I retweet it just to make sure it gets out there. And just the fact is that these people have opened up their generosity. Well, you know, me and Donna, we love y'all. We know we got you. But I just think that everything, like you talked about, just these children, these kids that probably don't have anything.
Yep.
Just a little something. And like we said yesterday, every little bit counts.
Yeah,
every
know,
little bit helps.
I know not everybody's got 50 bucks.
And so we
bucks,
appreciate it, man.
Even 20 bucks to donate.
So we appreciate you.
$5. It's and honestly, it's just the sentiment. It's the thought that counts. And folks up there are going to appreciate it a great deal. So thank you. Let's keep it rolling. App State is going to play football this weekend, just sort of speaking of that region, not at home.
Oh, okay. I saw Boone.
They're playing at Marshall.
Okay.
But they're going to play, which is probably a little bit of relief for some folks up there to take your mind off of it a little bit. Not one of the premier games of the weekend, but still, at least they're going to get back into action. Georgia and Alabama, not surprisingly, it was prime time, it was a big matchup, all that kind of stuff. 12 million viewers.
Yeah.
It's the highest since the FSU-Alabama opener in 2017.
That's... That's Jameis. Was that Jameis?
I think so. No, Jameis wasn't there still.
What the hell?
Why was
that game so 17?
That was probably Jalen Hurts. Like, that was pre-Tua, because I think Tua came into the national championship game late 17, right?
Oh, that was Francois.
Okay,
I think, that was Francois. He got hurt in that game.
Yep, that's
remember,
right.
That's where the old offensive line couldn't block for that boy got the crap kicked out of him.
He got the screw. Where did he end up?
Oh, God.
He had to transfer.
I know he transferred. I just don't know where he went.
Speaking of Florida State transfer quarterbacks, DJU is not going to play this weekend. He's got a broken finger. Obviously, sucks.
Are you breaking in practice to start the year?
They just found out. Finger's actually been broken since July. They just found out. Sucks, so they're playing Clemson. Obviously, he used to play for Clemson.
Oh, man, he's going to miss the Clemson game?
He's going to miss the Clemson game.
I know that sucks for him, man. But it might be better for them because they look like absolute ass.
Yeah, they're not
and
good.
It's one of the things where they just – you can't bounce back. I mean, they got destroyed last weekend by SMU. And that's when you just look at – I want to know, like, could you have not – was the guy that's behind him not better than him? You know, because I don't want to put all this on DJU because this is a colossal just – bad team.
But DJU has been more name than player since he left Clemson.
Since that Notre Dame game.
Since that Notre Dame game. Even the final year at Clemson, for sure. We're going to find out because it's Brock Glenn, and he's going to start on Saturday against Clemson for Florida State. Yeah, Florida State does have one win, though. They did beat one team.
They did.
And it was Cal, who hosts game day on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm excited.
The one team that can't beat Florida State gets to host game day on Saturday.
I'm excited about Cal getting game day. Not really. But
here's why I'm excited. Yeah. I am a little bit excited because I think the guest picker should be Marshawn Lynch.
Why wouldn't it be?
It'd be FCC regulations probably would be the reason why, but you got to do it, right?
Yeah, probably.
You got to do it.
But the thing about it, because you know what Marshawn going to say, the S word. Blank,
It gives the opportunity for him to be featured on television more. I don't know who else. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can't do it.
No, he can't do it.
He's got a game on Sunday.
I'm sure there's somebody. I mean,
Steve Bartkowski?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. But I mean,
Alex Morgan went to Cal.
Alex Mack went to Cal.
He did. Deshaun Jackson,
when they were just naming Cal players.
Yeah, they were Cal players and everything. Tony Gonzalez.
That's actually a pretty good idea. Now, is there because Marshawn, I guess, too, because they do NFL coverage for the other network. We can put our network affiliations aside.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's always funny when you look at these matchups. This is a conference matchup, you know, which is
great. It's the longest, and not just in conference, it's the longest road trip of any team not playing Hawaii of the year.
Yes.
Miami going to Cal is the longest road trip any team will have in college football this year, and it's a conference game.
It's going to be so much fun because, I mean, these youngins from Miami, nuddums from Miami, going to Cal, probably not, you know, like, don't even know where Berkeley is.
It's a whole different world.
It's a whole different world.
They, though, because of the way that the game went last weekend, obviously they win on a last second. Was it not? Yeah, whatever it was. So they escaped by the skin of their teeth. They got to bounce back. Like, Cal's okay. They're not great. Mm-hmm. Like, they're probably going to give them a tough game just because they can run the football. But,
is this
Miami's legit.
Is this their clunker? Was that their clunker?
The
Virginia Tech?
I think.
Because remember coming to year, a lot of people were talking about Virginia Tech making noise.
And they finally did look like that.
Yeah, because it went away after the first game they had.
I
losing to Vanderbilt the way they did. But I think Vanderbilt's better than people thought before that game, I think. That's what I think.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think Vanderbilt's a little bit better than they got credit for.
Yeah, but, Miami, Cam Ward's been outstanding. You know, he had a rough one last weekend with a couple turnovers and things like that. But the dude made the plays when the team needed to make plays.
He was rough, and then he was great.
Yes.
It was quite as extreme as Carson Beck, but he had some pretty bad moments, then he had great moments to lead them back into that game. Missouri, Texas A&M is interesting.
Yeah, I'm reading this right here.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard this yesterday. Okay. So, Missouri staffer. So, she works in Missouri. Bria Reed. She's a sister of the quarterback, Marcel Reed. Mm-hmm. She's not allowed at Tiger practice. But now, when I saw this, I was like, hold on. Oh, I get it. Like, Eli's pretty much, you think she going to tell him something?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she works for you.
You're going to give him the game plan.
You're going to give him the game plan? Is that what you read about? Yeah, I saw this
yesterday.
Can't risk it. Yeah, I saw this yesterday.
What is her job? I don't even know. Matters.
She's a staffer. Is she on the football staff?
Right.
Like,
I don't know.
Like a coach or something?
Now, Marcel Reed has been playing.
Yes.
And has actually given them a little bit of life. He's been playing.
Yes.
He's their young quarterback with Wegman, who got banged up. Actually playing pretty good. They're 4-1. Missouri's 4-0, but they're sort of a limpy 4-0, right? Like they beat Boston College, but it took a while to get there. We're just talking about Vanderbilt. They had to go to overtime to beat Vanderbilt. This is one for me with Missouri where it's like, because I wouldn't say like a ton of hype, but certainly they played well last year and people thought they might build on it this year.
Right.
If they don't play like that Saturday, then maybe they're just okay. You know what I mean? Like it feels like one of those games for me where I find out, all right, they were just kind of slogging through September. They're going to find it. They still have the quarterback. They still have the receiver. They still have the coach. Mm-hmm. Like the bones of the offense are still there.
Coach with a new contract.
Yeah, and an offensive line that's the same offensive line that blocked them to that great offense last year. But if they kind of look, I don't know, average like they have offensively again, then maybe that's just what their offense is.
Maybe it is. I mean, they got one of the best offensive players in America.
They do.
We know that.
Yeah, probably top 10 pick.
Yeah, and so now you got to figure out they lost the engine of that offense, though. As great as Burton is and the quarterback of that line, Schrader was the dude. He really was the engine of everything they did last year. He's gone. And so how big – well, obviously it's a big loss because he was – first-team All-American last year.
Such a tough player.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he's gone. And so how do you – you haven't replaced that energy or whatever, how he was able to – in the past game. Remember that last game of the year? It might have been a bowl game. We had like 100 yards receiving, 150 yards rushing, or something like that. I mean, the dude was absolutely phenomenal last year, and they just seemed that they fixed that energy that he brought for them.
No, I think that's right. There is technically a national championship rematch Saturday.
What? Dude.
They're playing.
Yeah.
Now, it's all different players, all different coaches, and one team's in a different conference.
Right.
But it is the same schools that played in the national championship game last year, and Washington's favored. All right.
Oh, what's the line?
2.5.
That's favorite.
A little home field bump. I don't know why they're favored, but hey, Vegas knows more than I do, that's for sure. Just want to beat them. I was talking to a buddy yesterday. He said, we got to get revenge. I was like, it's not revenge. They beat us in the national championship game,
man.
It's not revenge. I want to beat them.
Right.
Obviously, it would be great, but we don't get that game back.
Some Georgia news. Smile Monday is not going to play this weekend. Smile Monday is not going to play.
Injured?
I said it's injured. And so, obviously, it's a big game up there. It's homecoming this weekend up in Athens. Is the Auburn Tigers coming to town. Who's going to play quarterback?
Carson Beck.
I know he's going to play for us. Who's going to play for him?
I think they're still sticking with the same dude, aren't they?
Oh, are they? Because I know he came back after being benched. They said it cleared his mind.
Oh.
But now he's back. Okay.
Let me pull up the – yeah, I mean, he threw 32 passes against Oklahoma. Last weekend.
Yeah, Nathan Thorne?
Peyton Thorne. Formerly of Michigan State. Where he also was bad.
Yeah. He transferred there.
And has also been bad.
But good for them. They saw this. They flipped Deuce Knight from Notre Dame. He's the number two dual threat in the country. So Auburn might be taking to get it right.
I don't know anything about that guy except for he's got an awesome name.
Yes.
Deuce Knight is a badass quarterback name.
He better be badass.
Yeah, that's a great name. It's a great name. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Of course, back into the Thursday night football game between the Falcons and the Bucks tonight. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.